and C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors.
Oh, man.
And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck you doing today? How the heck is everybody out there in Radio Land? 877-881-1053, Franklin, Injury Attorney, text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube.
I'm doing very well because I'm well-fed from last night. We had a fantastic dinner at Knife in Plano last night. I hope y'all's steaks were as good as my steak was.
Both of them, because I got the sirloin, and then I got a piece of the dry-aged. Oh, it was tremendous.
That was awesome, too. Yeah,
Show me your meat.
I had a dry-aged strip. It was awesome. So I'm doing very well, but I need to say something.
Is it about the bacon platter?
We'll get back to the bacon platter. Mike, get out of the YouTube chat.
My God. Is he really going back and forth with people?
Mike, you are not. He's still going in there. Mike, get out of the YouTube chat. You know, but you used to avoid the fan text because you didn't want that negativity in your life. And by the way, is our fan text more positive than it's ever been lately?
That's true. Use that as an invitation to turn the tide, please.
I just want to say thank you to the Tolos, like the KNC Master Peeps, the Tolos that have embraced the show and said, you know what, we're going to rock with you guys. Thank you so much. But Mike has, I guess he's infiltrated with his own name, the YouTube, and he's now having conversations with people about the terrible, awful announcing list. Mm-hmm. And Mike, you know better. Don't let that seep into your life, all right? There's too many other good things out there in the world.
Yeah.
And Mike, is it talking him off the ledge? What are we doing? What am I doing here? Mike,
come back home. Out of the hate spiral.
Yeah, come back home. Come on up to the station, and you can just say what you want to whoever is making negative things in your life. Say what you want to us. I'm looking out for Mike. I just want to.
Yeah, I think Mike is awesome. I will admit, most of these broadcasts I never listen to, but I think the Texas Rangers TV broadcast is very enjoyable, but obviously I'm biased and love the radio broadcast right here on 105.3 The Fan as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let's see. Back to the bacon platter? Is that what you wanted to discuss?
We can go back to the bacon platter, or did I do the right thing? A radio show in Florida texted me last night.
Okay.
Well, kind of. They said, we're in Florida. We broadcast to Tampa, Jacksonville, and the Fort Myers, Naples markets. Should I give them the name of the show, you think?
Sure.
Okay. It is the Miller and Moulton radio show. Right. And they said, hey, I'm doing our NFC East previews this week. Was hoping you could jump on to talk Cowboys 7:30 or 8 o'clock this morning. Now, I didn't see this text until way later, because we were out doing a charity dinner and everything like that. It was awesome. Shout out to Rachel and her boys. But they addressed it to Corey.
Ooh.
And also, they spelled it C-O-R-E-Y.
And you responded how again?
Well, by the time I saw the text, it was like 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And so...
Have you responded?
It would have been midnight Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did not respond in that moment. And I wasn't trying to leave them hanging out to dry. I just was like, I don't know if I really should text this person at midnight.
Yeah. So, producers are up all night, though, right? Isn't that how...
I was out as soon as I got back home last night, so...
It took you about an hour and a half to get home.
Oh, so that's a good point.
It was, 3 o'clock in the morning by the time you got to sleep.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Sleepwalking.
Kevin, I am glad that you didn't text them back.
Okay.
Because that's not you. Somehow they got the wrong number. I don't know exactly what it is. Somehow they got the wrong number. But this is kind of crazy, though, because remember when Flula... got your email address?
Yeah.
To the newspaper that you still worked at? How did that happen?
Man, that was some good investigating right
there.
So they
did get the wrong number, but they also spelled the name incorrectly. If you're going to reach out to somebody, okay?
You should know their name.
And you're not an AI bot.
Oh.
All you have to, a quick Google search. This quick Google search will get you all the information you ever need to know. C-O-R-Y is how it is. Now, my last
Corey
name...
Corey Mahors.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean and Mr. Purdy. Kevin, my last name, if you get that wrong, you don't know me.
Right.
That one's tough. I'll give you that.
Can I tell you one of my favorite stories ever? You were on vacation, I think, or I was needed to sub in with Skin on Ben and Skin, and somebody called him, as I get a call from a telemarketer right now, and he goes, hello? And they go, yes, can I speak to, is this Jeff? And he goes, two people in the world call me Jeff, and you are not one of them, and hung up the phone, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, that's how you know. When people call my house as a child, they go, yes, is Mr. McGregor's there? And I'd be like, no. You obviously have no clue who we are. First off, you're not going to say Mr. McGregor's
right.
or Mr. Majors if you're calling to talk to my dad.
Right.
So that's how it is.
So, yeah, I wasn't on the show this morning. I feel like if they had got my name right, at least, I probably would have gone on the show. That feels okay to be a bare minimum, right? If you ask me to be a guest and you get my first name wrong, that feels like it's okay to be like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right. Perfect. All right. So let's go ahead and start with, man, oh, man, did it feel like a game, or as Evan Grant said, a combination of games when you look at the last two nights that truly do encapsulate the Rangers season? Go ahead and give me cut number two, please.
2-1. Swinging, Chaparro hits one deep down the left field line. If it's fair, it's gone, and that one is fair. Into the second deck. Chaparro with his third hit. This is a three-run home run, and this really opens it up. 6-0. The Nationals leading. That is a back-breaking shot from Andrés Chaparro.
He sounds so sad in that moment. That's how I always think, that's how you can tell if it's a home run, the level of excitement or defeat in an announcer's voice pretty much straight away.
Because if it's spelled with five letters, it would be a slap in the face to Jaden Daniels. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm not going to lie. The other reason I brought it up is I was really hoping that you were going to tell me you got the same text and it said Kevin.
Oh,
and I would be like, sweet.
I screened my phone calls.
It was a text.
Kevin, we're talking Rangers now, huh?
Yeah.
After that audio.
I mean, that was Rangers audio.
Yeah. How much of this game did you connect with at all?
I mean, so this was one of the things.
The three times we looked at our phones to see the score and it was in zero.
And we talked about this the other day, is if you are ever going to catch up on a game, do you, and you know what? This is a side question I want all of y'all. If you're going to catch up on a game and you know your schedule for the day and you're like, I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to be starting from behind, but I think I can catch up to where the broadcast is, or like catch it pretty close to the end. I got to stay off social media. Do you go totally radio silent and you're like, I will hear nothing, look at nothing, stay off of social media? Or are you like, let me just kind of check the score to see if I can jump in right now? Because I can see if, like, let's say it's a Cowboys game and for some reason you were busy, but you see that it's 20-20 in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left. Can you be like, hey, I'm going to jump in live and then I'll go back later and see what happens? But to your point, when we were tracking the game at the dinner last night, you see that it starts out, you know, fairly reasonable. The Rangers aren't scoring or anything like that. It's 1-0, 2-0 in the third and fourth. But then you get to that home run we just played in the seventh, and that broke it open. And by the time I think I got home, well, I know by the time I got home, because it was 6-0 when we were still at the restaurant, I was like, yeah, I'm going to pack it up. I think I'm okay.
I love this question because there's so many different scenarios to be in.
Sure.
A Mavericks playoff game, it's 88-88 in the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Right.
Do I have to pick it up right now? Like that, and that is like, oh, I think when it comes to Cowboys games, I will do everything I can to be radio silent. Everything
okay.
I can, and never go look at it, because I am going to, there's so few of them, right? Like with the Rangers and basketball and hockey, there's so many periods and quarters in a season that it's like, okay, you know, if I miss one, it's fine. But I will, once I know the final score, if it's a loss, I don't need to go back and look.
Okay.
If it's the Cowboys, I probably do need to go back and look, because I need to figure out, because we're going to talk about it for probably 5 days.
But yeah, and with the Rangers, obviously, like, the machine just keeps churning. They'll have another game tonight against the Nationals. Hopefully you can take that series, move on with some modicum of momentum going into the rematch with the Angels. And so it's like, if we were talking about last night's game tomorrow, that would feel very much out of place. So I hear you on that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I'm wondering, though, in the playoffs for hockey, I was sitting with the phone on during that game that Rantanen did his thing.
Yeah.
And I sat there and didn't see every goal live. But going back and watching them in highlights was fantastic form for me.
Yeah.
I didn't even really go back and watch that whole game live, but I did watch that time, that stretch of time live. And I think Alex said it many times. He highlights, is it highlight culture's Hard Knocks?
Held, the NBA commissioner was like, it's a highlight league.
Yeah, highlight culture's Hard Knocks. I highlight cultured Rocky. And I think highlight culturing hockey a lot of times is very fun.
Yeah.
Because you see the best of parts of it.
That's true.
This is a fascinating discussion, though.
But the argument's going to be, and I'm going to kick it over to you as well, Al, because obviously you were at our show dinner last night as well, is you do, depending on what you do, you can miss the nuances and intricacies of the game.
Yeah.
Especially in, I'm not saying it can't happen in basketball or football, because it definitely can, or even baseball. But it feels like sports like hockey and soccer, you can lose so much of the nuance in a game where maybe the Stars won 3-0 and you're like, they dominated. And you're like, are you kidding me? I can't believe they scored. They won that game, let alone won it emphatically 3-0. They were getting their ass kicked all night because the goalie shut it down in either sport. So you can lose things there more than I think in other sports. How do you consume this, Alec? Do you stay totally radio silent? Do you ever forget I'm not supposed to go on social media because it's just such a force of habit and that ever ruins it for you?
I'm actually the total opposite. I go to social media and whatnot, and I try to look at the people that are at the game, covering the game, or just people from the station even that are reacting, and I try to catch some of the nuance because I feel like I will miss it if I go. And, you know, there's great articles out there and stuff, you know, like for a Ranger game, last night's game. If I went to MLB.com, I can read Kennedy Landry's piece, but I don't get the real-time emotion of if I go to her Twitter feed and she says, you know, what an awful pitch to take in that situation.
Right.
Or if she says, you know, some confusion on the base paths led to this third out happening. Whereas if I just read the box score in an article that says, oh, the Rangers lost, their offense wasn't very good, blah, 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 they didn't pitch well, then it's like, okay, that sounds like any other baseball game.
Yeah.
So I go to social media.
All right, Kevin, I'm going to provide a scenario for you.
Yeah, tell me.
All right, I want you to close your eyes and imagine me, right? There I am, just kind of lounging in my jeans and shirt and shoes.
These are extemporaneous.
I have my earbuds in because I'm about to get on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
But I look over the airplane bar and everybody's losing their minds. And I know that my ex-fiance is pitching in that game, all right? And he could be pitching a no-hitter right now.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe a perfect game.
Is this from For Love of the Game?
This is absolutely the scenario from For Love of the Game, right?
Uh-huh.
So, but I hear something's happening over there, and I know the big game's on. And it's close enough to time to be that moment. Do I get up and go watch the biggest moment of whatever game that is over there? Or do I say, no, I'm staying in my seat, and I will watch it when I get off this plane and get to my hotel room? Like that, because you could be surrounded by a bunch of people that are all losing their minds, sharing a moment that is going to last with you forever, and you got to see that moment live. Or no, I had to wait to personally watch it at home so I could get my full experience. Weird, because how often do you celebrate with people you don't know?
For sure,
you know
that's what sports is kind of all about, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I had to really kind of set the picture for you.
You know, it depends.
At least I had pants on, you know?
If it was my ex-fiance, then no, I wouldn't stop down to watch that at all. And I'm not going to lie, and Jesus would not approve of this. I would be rooting for a hit. I would be actively rooting for that person not reach that specific sports-based goal. And that's not the way I should think. But I wanted to be honest with you as well. All right. Let me ask you,
Sorry.
No time. That's okay. No time for this follow-up question. But at some point, maybe in Nuggets, we're going to have Heidi Watney on tomorrow. Maybe we bring it up. I wanted to discuss the idea with you guys. What do you think is a realistic best-case scenario for the Rangers the rest of the regular season? Whether that means record-wise or winning the division whatever else in the regular season.
Yeah, the regular season will lead to a World Series.
Okay, I don't want to know that last part.
You want to wait to see it.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Because like you said, I don't want to get it spoiled. All right, so let me watch the baseball playoffs and be excited like everybody else. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's do some Dallas Cowboys news and questions of the day, and this time we really will start it off with Julius Wood and the concept of who's the guy you want on this team next on The Fan.
Quick drop, knocked away, batted twice and picked off. First turnover of the day for the Chargers, finally taken in by Julius Wood.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where Bobby Belt is working on a very intriguing social media video.
It could be bad.
That is fair. In the noon o'clock hour, we will do a Rangers ticket giveaway for a 4-pack of tickets for Rangers Angels on Saturday. But right now, some Dallas Cowboys news and questions of the day. And we're going to use that highlight of Julius Wood as kind of a springboard into this. Now, these are more for the players that you're like, I'm not sure if they're going to make it, or they're looking like they're going to make it, but you're like, I really need to like lock that in. I'm not talking
Does
about
Camden Brown count.
See, I think Camden Brown is still in play. I think he's going to be on the team, but you're not positive about that.
Gotcha.
Like, I would be surprised at this point if he got cut, but it's not like Javonte got cut. You'd be like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
And so what I want to know is, who is y'all's maybe kind of fringy guy that you really think should be on this team? And Julius Wood is somebody that kind of jumps to mind, because I'm like, man, I really would like him to be on this roster, but I realize you can't go heavy at every single position, or you've totally screwed your ability to make your initial roster. So is there somebody that jumps to mind for y'all? Was that Quinnum? Okay, just making sure I heard that correctly.
Where is he on this depth chart? Quinnum.
Yeah, he's safe.
Quinnen
mm-hmm. is safe.
But he said Quinnum.
I don't think he's going to make it.
That Michael Parsons kid. You know, we still have questions.
Flournoy.
Okay, Flournoy.
I feel very confident that he will be on
the team.
So
Barham on team, you're presuming.
Yes.
Okay, this is a really interesting question, because where do you land with Reddy Stewart?
Okay, I think Reddy Stewart is a perfect example for this, because
This is the dude that I've told you, he's my Brandon Nimmo.
Okay.
He can play on my team anytime.
Could it be Reddy Stewart or Julius Wood?
Good question.
You know, because like, it doesn't always have to be position by position, although I know Reddy Stewart has shown that he's taken plenty of snaps now at safety as well. But like, maybe it's a defensive backfield question, and you're like, well, you can keep Julius Wood, you keep Reddy Stewart, but you don't get Elijah Clark. Or maybe you only get one out of those trios. So I think Reddy Stewart is a great example of this. And so then I will ask you this question. Would you take Reddy Stewart over Julius Wood?
I want to see a little more from Julius Wood, so I got two more games to do that.
True.
But at this moment, I'm so committed to Reddy.
Okay.
This is a dude that Kevin last year, I know he knew the defense, but I watched him last year step in and say, I'll put my nose in there no matter what. And so like, I know I got that. Now, Julius Wood's shown that too. Julius Wood in the joint practice showed that he'll get in there and he'll mix it up as well. But Reddy Stewart has shown me the ability at times. He's the dude. He's the one for me. He's my Brandon Nimmo. You can play my outfield anytime.
Okay, then I think I know where this is going to go, but I just want to be sure. Would you take Reddy Steward over Sam Williams and Maris Leafau? Now you would only
Sam Williams
get,
was my next person.
You would only get one of those. Okay, so then Reddy Steward or Sam Williams. So like, let's say you go six at outside linebacker and edge, and you know it's going to be Gary Ezeraku, Malachi Lawrence, Von Miller, and it feels like James Houston is pretty locked in. So you go six there and you get Sam Williams and you don't get Reddy Steward, or you go Reddy Steward and you don't get.
I know a lot of people are ready to move on from Sam Williams. Like, they're just like, okay, we've seen this project and all that stuff. And quite honestly, Kevin, I might hold on to this one year too long. But Sam Williams, I still think, has freakish athleticism and speed for his size.
Right.
And I also feel like he's gotten the short end of the stick on coaching along the way. And now maybe the pairing just will never work out. Maybe he will never find a coach that can teach him and have these things corrected and have him ready to go. But I would take Sam Williams next. But I'm still keeping Reddy Steward over Sam Williams. But he would be, if he's the next on my list. I do have a third person on that list, Anthony Smith.
Okay, so we're going to come into conflict here. I swear I'm not.
Are you pairing Reddy Steward against Anthony Smith right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to actually do something totally different, and I swear I'm not doing a bit. And I've already seen the text come in. Instead of Anthony Smith, I want to keep Jonathan Mingo. And instead, and I'm...
Hold on, is this because the you want balance and criticism?
No.
Because Jonathan Mingo has done nothing in the NFL for this team.
Fact. But...
What's your point?
My point is, if training camp really matters, I think Jonathan Mingo has looked revitalized at camp and looking like he could give something to this team. So here is my bold roster thought. I want Jonathan Mingo over... either Malik Davis, Jaden Blue, or Phil Maffa. I don't want to carry five running backs. And I realize if you want to say Hunter Lipke's a fullback.
Hold on. Did you just keep Abanaconda?
No, Abanaconda, if you told me. Actually, okay, here we go. We're going to.
Abanaconda.
This is going to be complex right here. If you told me you take five running backs and Abanaconda is five, then I'll back down from my Jonathan Mingo thought. So I have Abanaconda above him in the hierarchy. But if you go off of the assumption that you take five running backs, we're going to count Hunter Lipke as a running back for the purposes of this exercise.
I can't believe you cut Malik Davis already.
Okay, no.
In this situation, you said you'd take him over him.
I did not. I said you have to pick
one of those
two. Right. Yeah, exactly. I was going to cut
it's probably
maybe somebody
Maffa.
Else. So Javonte, Lipke, Malik Davis, Jaden Blue, and Phil Maffa. If those are the five, I'm getting rid of one running back to either sub in Abanaconda or I want Mingo. And I swear
so
I'm
then
not
who are
doing
your five receivers.
Bit. So the
are you six receivers?
No, I'm going six. Yeah. I'm going heavy at wide receiver. I am keeping Cameron Brown. So I'm going heavier at wide receiver and lighter at running back. Because supposedly Hunter Lipke can also be a running back. So, like, why the hell do you need to carry five? So that is my hot take on that front. What say you? I don't think it's that hot.
So, because Anthony Smith is going to clear waivers, right? This is a seventh-round draft pick that
probably.
Everybody was like, who? Most people didn't have him on their draft
card. Sure, and
all.
I think Abanaconda would clear waivers as well.
I think this is fair. Because of that specific. Now, in most situations, I don't argue that because I don't think about it.
Yeah.
I don't think about the, hey, I can put 75 people on the injured list here and then the next day sign them all.
Right.
That's not true. But the Cowboys have been very good at manipulating the roster when they do these things. I think, Kevin, this is fair if you think Jonathan Mingo's shown you everything you need to see.
I think he has, and you know what? I do need to double up or double check in a couple of special teams questions about that, but I just like
he made the special teams hustle play.
Yeah, I thought Jonathan Mingo was, from a sports perspective, dead man walking in a training
All
camp.
All of us did.
Like, yeah, you've seen it from the OTAs. You're like, meh, but dude, he's shown something in training camp.
Do you think that it's – let me ask you this then. Do you think he's shown something in training camp because he realizes he's trying out for other teams? And that's the reason
you know,
the Cowboys have already kind of given the, hey, look, man, here's the situation. By the amount of receivers that they have,
for sure,
it could be the motivator.
That
could definitely be the motivator.
That is entirely possible. I do not believe that is the case, but that's just based on, I don't have inside information that, like, when we talk with Steven, he didn't go, hey, by the way, Mingo's not making this team. Like, I don't know that to be the case whatsoever. I'm just telling you, I think he's doing it for this team.
Gotcha. No, I understand. Again, because of roster manipulation, I think this is fair. If it came down to, and quite honestly, Kevin, Anthony Smith hasn't done enough for me either.
Right now.
So that's another factor, is that he has not shown, he's had a couple of plays, and he's shown, there were a couple times while we were out there that I saw some of the burst that I was looking for, but he's still so young and raw, he has a lot more to work on. So I understand where you're going with this.
And I will also say, this is just kind of a general football mission statement for me. If they're anywhere near close, I will sacrifice a third quarterback for several of these players.
Same.
Whether it's Stewart, Izzy, Mingo, there are many, many players I would be like, go heavy at this other position as opposed to
taking
a third
quarterback. What about Maffa? So you're keeping a fourth running back. You're keeping, here, let's, I'm giving you these numbers.
All right.
You're keeping Javonte, obviously.
Yep.
Jaden Blue, which is questionable still.
Is that all? Yeah, I was, oh, okay.
I need to give, let's see some offensive line blocking, but he's probably going to make the team. Maffa and Malik Davis. Will you keep Maffa? Because I feel like he's the odd man out for me.
I'd keep it Malik over Maffa.
Okay, you're going to keep, let's say you have the option to keep all four of those guys or a third quarterback.
I'll keep Maffa then. I just, like,
yeah.
Unless we see something in these next two games, because, you know, they're going to swap it over, you're going to see Milton, and if Milton shows more of that fade-esque touch that you saw into the end zone, I mean, I know the catch was great, but the pass was really good for Joe Milton. If you see more of that touch as well, well, then maybe I'll reconsider, depending on what Sam Howell looks like, but I just feel like, if they're both the same,
dude,
I do not want to keep both of them.
The other line that you're bringing up there, and Mickey pointed it out the other day, and that was Milton showed the ability to stay in the pocket and deliver a pass. That the touch is good, because you're right. He's like, I can throw this thing 104 miles an hour 7 feet away. You don't have to.
Right.
The touch is good.
Yes.
But it's the desire to stay in the pocket and pull the trigger on a pass, because that's going to be the bigger play than you running. And that's something that he just hasn't done. And because, I don't know if it's because he doesn't want to get hit. Most people don't want to get hit. He did say he'd rather truck somebody, though.
Sure.
But like, you can. You absolutely can stay in the pocket and deliver that pass for the big play that's going to set up your team in a better way.
And I'm so sorry. I'm just telling you what I think at this point. I think, barring a change in the next 2 weeks, which obviously there's still plenty of time to change, Scooney's on the roster and Trigg is not.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like a hot take. I'm just telling you.
Well,
that feels like the progression thus far.
Trigg could probably get through waivers too.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing about it, is we all fall in love with the guys we see here and believe in. But like you said, Anthony Smith, 7th-round draft pick. Michael Trigg, not drafted at all. So I don't think it's a done deal that some other team would just pick him up. I'm not saying they won't, but it's not like these were your 4th and 5th round picks that everyone is going to be like, oh, you just wait.
Yeah.
You just wait.
Well, and also, I mean, there's hundreds of those guys on other teams.
Exactly.
That you probably
exactly.
liked
exactly.
as well.
Yeah. Like, there's a good chance we're going to pick up somebody off of waivers that another fan base is going to be like, I cannot freaking believe we let him go, and then he'll never do anything.
Exactly.
Here. Just like that will happen with Cowboys players as well. We will have a segment where in the moment we're all like, I can't believe we cut our 6th-string defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, what did he end up doing? Nothing.
I can't believe they let Dak go, you know?
Okay. Well, that feels
that's
like
not one of them.
That would probably take up the entirety of the show.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here. Fair on
105.3
The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some baseball nuggets, mistakes to avoid, and lessons to be learned from the 94 strike. Next on The Fan.
Tana collected a 2-out single against him in the first, the 0-1. Swinging, that one is driven deep to right center field. Nimmo going back. He turns, he looks, and that one's out of here. Seventh home run of the year for Jose Tena. He singled on a sinker in the first. He homers on a sinker here in the third. And the Nationals get on the board first with a third inning solo home run from Jose Tena.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3. The Fan, and the Nationals would win that game 6-0 after the Rangers won the night before. 5-0 series finale today, 6:30 pregame right here on 105.3 The Fan. And with that in mind, let's fire up some baseball nuggets.
Do, do, do.
Nom, 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 nom. I don't think that clip will stop being funny to me for a really
It doesn't even
really
sound like Mike.
No, it does not.
Right? It sounds
does not.
I don't know that I've ever heard Mike do an impression.
Right.
Other than the brilliant ghost of Tom Landry.
That's
but,
right.
But
the
otherwise
thing that's ever been on this stage.
I was out that day and I was like, I can't believe I missed work. If that was going to happen. But, like, it just doesn't... Like, you do a fantastic Kermit the Frog and Scooby-Doo, I believe.
Real?
But, like...
What's going on?
I never...
You thought that was pretty good, though, right, Alex?
It's solid.
Do Kermit now.
What?
I'm telling him to do Kermit.
No, no more
you.
Impersonations.
Fine.
You looked at me when you said it, so I
know.
I was like,
I thought if I did that, he'd just be like, do his thing, and then we could all laugh. And
Kermit the Frog.
See, it's like really that. Good. Now, compared to Mike, I never heard that.
Right.
So that's all I'm saying. But you're right. It's funny.
All right. So this is an article that came out a few days ago from our buddy Tim Kirkjian. And
he's awesome.
He is awesome. Something to talk about in case you drift into a work stoppage, which it honestly feels like everybody thinks that's inevitable. And he had 5 lessons learned from the labor strike. Number one, do not use replacement players, because it feels like, I'm not saying it's inevitable at all, but it feels like you're going to get to the point where baseball should be starting, spring training should be starting, and the urge or thought is going to be, well, let's get somebody out there. But do not do that. Buck Showalter said it was the worst time of my career. Everybody wanted to do what Sparky Anderson did, which was just boycott the entire exercise. And he goes, everyone. So that's point one. That feels like it should be easy enough to accomplish. Here is point two, and I think this is the most important point. Acknowledge what's at stake. And Tim Kirkjian said a lost season or even part of it will cause irreparable damage to the game and its fans, because it certainly did in 1994, and then said, this time, baseball will not have Cal Ripken's emotional chase of Lou Gehrig's consecutive game streak or a historic home run battle to help heal the wound.
It'll find something.
You know what?
Because you didn't know that you were going to find that.
For the home runs, yes. For the Ripken thing, I did feel like that was building for a while, but I just wonder if our culture is so different now today that, like, we don't necessarily all come together on things like this. And so I think I'm with Kirkjian that you're probably right. Something will come along. But, like, those two runs feel like two of the biggest things that, I'm not kidding, have ever happened in baseball.
Rangers always were able to find Sammy Sosa getting his 500th home run to sell to.
Right.
Or Adrian Beltre getting his 3,000th hit.
Like, they'll try.
Something will always happen that if they spend enough money marketing it, that's the deal. If they spend enough money marketing it, it'll work. You got a good point, though. That home run race was captivating. Like, that was special to have two people, I mean, three at one point, and then was it Griffey that fell off, and then it was just let down to two. So that you're right there. Don't use replacement players, Kevin, sticks with me really hard.
Yeah.
It's not better baseball. And you're telling me that you're gonna charge me the ticket prices to go watch not better baseball?
And you know
That's what would burn me so hard.
From the 479, because we actually talked about this last night. If they do strike, you could see the Savannah Bananas extend and create more teams to fill the void. That is interesting to me because, look, whether you like the Savannah Bananas or not, quite frankly, I think they do very well in their niche, very Harlem Globetrotters-esque. That is interesting, and I could see that. And I wonder if the Savannah Bananas and the, you know, whatever other teams they originate, you know, you'd have 4 to 6 maybe. So you could have, like, the traveling matchups everywhere. And now I think they only have 2. Maybe I'm off about that. But I think you could fill up some baseball stadiums with people, like, feeling the need for some semblance of entertainment, even though there's a lot of differences.
Work stoppage. Does that mean contracts are not necessarily null and void, but does that mean they just can't work? There's a no compete?
It's you just can't do other baseball.
So they couldn't do Savannah Bananas?
Stuff. I believe that is correct.
That stinks.
However,
they're millionaires. Who cares?
Well, okay. And that works perfectly into the next point.
Dude, it's like we know each other.
I want you to think about Harold Reynolds. Reynolds was 33. When the strike happened on August 11th, 1994, he never played again.
Yep.
And so whenever you get to this work stoppage, how many players are just never going to play again? Because they were going to have to battle for their spots through spring training.
Not Max Scherzer.
Yeah. You're going to see like an accelerated spring training and everything, which will probably cast some of these guys to the wayside. And you know, Kent Herbeck was another one. These are people that were like really, really good in their time and just nothing. You never saw it again. And then here's another kind of idea that goes along with that. Protect the minor leaguers, because what's going to be one of the first intuitions if you do go back to point one and use replacement players? Is it just going to be trying to escalate all of these minor league players? Now, there's a difference between now and 94 because the minor league teams, there's 120 of them. They're now unionized. So you can see how in 94 it'd be problematic because this guy's going to go, this guy's not, and everything. So I believe they would fall in line. But keep in mind, they also play under a totally different CBA than major leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
And so there could be some oddities there and some tough decisions to be made. And the last point he brought up was there must be solidarity. And the question is,
on whose part?
Okay. I think on the side of the players, realistically.
Okay.
Now, in a way, he alludes to solidarity for the game, which we kind of talked about. But if you go back to Gene Orza, he was the council COO of the MLBPA in 1994. And he goes, the players were finally prepared to fully go on strike. I didn't hear a peep on the 12th from any of the players the day after or the day of the strike. Nothing. Do you think that is the case today? Do you believe there's that same level of solidarity? Or will there be 30%, 60% that are like, hey, if I get a floor, I'm fine with the salary cap? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know exactly where they stand right now. It just feels like they've had one. I don't know that even the floor is the big deal.
Yeah.
I think the still conversation is, how much are you actually making? That's, when y'all tell us that, then we'll probably start having even more conversations.
Yeah.
But y'all know if you tell us that, that we're going to want a bigger piece of that.
Sure.
Because you know how much you're making and we don't. Which is really wild that they don't know how much their business is making.
And that's the thing.
They have ideas, right?
You know, well, here's the thing. You know what when I've learned more and more about that, they do know how much the team is making, but there is a disagreement about what counts as the team and what counts as
mine. Right. Yeah, you discussed it the other day.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, we're working together, and let's say, you know, $800,000 of revenue came into the show. Theoretically, like, you would say, well, let's split it right down the middle, and because you're the players. And the owners are like, yeah, but I got to peel off my expense of gas to drive to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to peel off the expense of the clothes that I wear or the show prep that I do. And, like, that's what Major League Baseball is doing.
Now, like, you peeled off $300,000, and you're like, let's split the rest.
Yeah, and I'm like, so, yeah, let's definitely split it down the middle of $500,000. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no. We're splitting $800,000.
Right.
You're like, no. And so that seems to be the crux of the argument, is not the percentage. They disagree on what the number is that they're splitting. That feels more problematic than the other way around, right?
Yeah, and you guys were able to capitalize on some of the other things that we can't capitalize on.
That is a great point, because one of the things the owners are arguing is that the properties they have, I'm just use Texas Live as an example. I'm not saying specifically Texas Live, but the owners are arguing, well, that's not baseball income. And if you're a player, you're like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Live is a really cool place. It's going to be most packed when there is a baseball game going or there are sporting events going. How is that not also the player's money?
But that's our ownership's investment, property investment.
And that is the fundamental difference of, great, you invested in something that is not worth anywhere near as much if I'm not there playing.
You know what's wild in all of this? Who's fighting for the fans to be able to watch their teams?
And that's a good question.
Are the players out there going, hey, guys, y'all see this? Most of our fans, now maybe they're like, we'd much rather you be in the stadium than we would you watch that. But like, who's fighting for the fans? Because nobody, because the fans will come back.
Yeah. And
the fans will come back.
And I think that goes back to point number one is be prepared. If you do this again, it might not bounce back the way you think. And that's the other thing. I know we got to go, but when you're talking about the salaries and stuff, fine. The salaries are too high. It's out of control. Cross the board. I'll tell you what, owners, I'll make you a deal right now. We can cut salaries by 20%, but you also have to cut the ticket price for everything 20%. There's no way in hell they're doing that.
Nope, not at all.
No, because they're like, that's my money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the players they do that with. It's the fans,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's fire up a little NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.